Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Random Chatter. We are back again. Happy to be home on the Random Chatter Podcast Network. And we've got a lot of stuff to cover this episode. Lou, how you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm happy to be here.
Ah, I caught you with your mic on mute, didn't I?
No.
Oh, okay. There's a little bit of a hiccup there. I thought maybe I...
Oh, no, sorry. No,
shoot.
Sometimes I do that. Sometimes I, you know, put it on mute and forget I'm on there, and I'm wondering, why isn't he answering me?
I think from now on, I'm just going to mess with you. When you talk, I'm just going to keep talking over top of you and make you think your mic's on mute. I should totally do that. All right. So this week we have our topic is one that normally I would avoid because it's just generally not that interesting a thing to talk about. But we've got a couple of things we want to say about the Oscars for this week. But first, we have a few other things to do. Let's do the catching up and what we've been up to recently first, and then we'll get into the talk about the Random Chatter Network a little bit. What have you been up to over the last week? Anything interesting catch your eye? Any you seen any new movies or?
You know, I haven't really. I haven't seen any new movies. I did finally finish X-Files.
Oh, okay.
You know, the reboot we had here, or not the reboot, but the back from
the long awaited sequel.
Years, yeah.
What did you think?
I was not that impressed. The first episode I thought was really good. I really liked the way they had them kind of getting back together again, and I liked the Joel McHale, is that his name?
Mm-hmm.
That did the internet news show that was kind of trying to bring out
Soup.
In X-Files he had an internet show. That was, you know, supposedly uncovering, you know, mysteries and that kind of stuff. Yeah, and that was part of the series or part of the episode. I thought, oh, that's pretty awesome. And they had a pretty good mystery going. And they did a little bit of it in the second episode, and then it just went away. And we didn't hear it. I'm like, okay, that's kind of strange. You got six episodes, and we're not hearing... You know, I thought the whole six-episode run would be about that topic for that first episode. And they had, like, three episodes in the middle that were kind of throwaways that could have been just any episode that had nothing to do with anything else, you know? And then the last episode came back to the story from the first one, which I'm like, okay, a little late, but okay, we're here. And it ended on a cliffhanger.
I hate when they do cliffhangers and they don't even know if they're coming back.
Yeah, I'm like, wait a minute, you've already said you canceled. And what happened here? I was like, oh, now, did you see all six?
No, actually, I've not seen any of them.
Okay. Do you plan on it, or?
I wanted to wait. Because there were so few of them, I wanted to see what people thought of them first.
Okay. There's some good episodes in the middle of the run. I think it was four, was a really funny kind of take on the whole werewolf thing, which I thought was excellent. I won't spoil it because it was definitely fun to watch. But it really had nothing to do with moving along the story of, you know, them coming back. I was like, oh, man, you know, they've only got 6 hours to do this, or, you know, six 40-minute episodes to do this, and I'm not seeing anything that's really making me stay here. I mean, I watched it because I figured it was only 6 hours of invested time. I can figure that out. But, boy, I really wanted more from that six episodes.
That really stinks.
Mm.
And you're not the first person I've heard that from. So, I don't know if I'm going to go back and watch. I used to watch The X-Files, not religiously, because I didn't like the Monster of the Week stuff, but I really did like the conspiracy stuff. So the story arc episodes I was really interested in, the serialized ones, the episodic ones, not so much. And so by the end of the series, I'd catch it sometimes.
Mm. Well, and I'm the same way. I really like the ones that moved along the story of the overall truth they're trying to get to.
Right.
And I didn't mind some of the episodes with the Monster of the Week because they were kind of fun.
Somewhere.
Right. But when you do that in a six-episode series and two of them or three of them were Monster of the Week that you threw in there, I'm like, wow, you're wasting time here, you know?
And that was the real thing, too. It's like, if you're only going to do six episodes, then make it a story arc. Don't do the Monster of the Week. We don't have time to. I mean, bring us something substantial.
Yeah.
That's your opportunity to shine, to,
Exactly. No. They could have done 6 episodes all about the story, driven that theme along for the whole 6 episodes, and be done with it. But nah.
Oh, well.
I mean, other than that, not really. I organized my X-Wing stuff. I need to find a better storage solution for my X-Wing game, miniature game from FFG. I got way too many things in my little storage device.
I've got to go back and redo all that stuff. I haven't had a chance to play in so long, and I miss it. I feel like I'm going to have to relearn how to play X-Wing now.
I feel like that way, too. In fact, one of the guys I used to play with emailed me the other day saying that there's an X-Wing night at one of the game shops I used to go to on Monday, and I'm like, I can't make it, unfortunately, but I'm like, I really want to go, but I'm like, hopefully they do it again soon. I guess it's this game store moved into a new location, so it's a little bigger, a little more space, better gaming tables. They did a good thing. They had, I think game night was every Monday for them, I think it was.
How far away is it for me?
For you, it's about 35 minutes for me, so it's probably about an hour for you.
Oh, it's in the wrong direction.
Yeah, it's down in Norwalk, unfortunately. Shoot. But we should definitely go sometime to do it next week night. Yeah,
sometime though. I normally work Monday nights, but I could switch that up.
Yeah, well, we'll figure out sometime.
So you and I, both. This isn't really the show for this, but I guess it's not really in particular the show for anything. It's random chatter. We can talk.
It's random.
What we
want. Yes.
We got a press review copy of Rebellion.
Yes.
Which we've not gotten to play yet. We're going to get together Sunday afternoon, evening.
Yeah,
and try it out, but it looks great.
It looks awesome. I can't wait to dig into this because it's supposed to be the entire original trilogy in one game.
Yeah.
Up to 4 players, I think. We can play Rebellion and Galactic Empire, and you get to use all the heroes and villains from the series, and even random, you know, kind of obscure character names from the EU, I think, will be in there.
Awesome.
I'm really looking forward to this. It's really looks like a lot of fun.
And from what I've read online, the game mechanics look really good.
Yeah, the manual is pretty thick. I opened the box up last night and went, wow, there's a lot to this one.
Say this, though. Even the games from FFG for which there is a learning curve, they're worth it. Once you get over that learning curve, you know, just brave it out. And especially if you find someone else who has it, who's played it before, that's the best way to do it. But even then, you know, if not, get some friends together, you know, try out a few games. It's been my experience in the past that once you get through whatever learning curve there is, their games are really solid.
They definitely are.
There's a reason that they are basically the number one tabletop gaming company right now.
Yeah, I think after we play this a couple times through and kind of get the feel for it, after we get our reviews out there, we should have the FFG hook us up with the creator of the game and get him on the show.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That'd be a lot of fun.
So I've been catching up on a few things. I have not caught up on. We mentioned this on Outer Rim. My wife was watching this because she was apparently a big fan of the original show growing up. Full House is back on Netflix as Fuller House. There is a sequel series.
Sure, it was your wife. Uh-huh.
Oh, trust me, there's no doubt in my mind this is not some kind of weird guilty pleasure sort of thing. Longtime listeners know I would probably admit to it if it were.
Sure, a poster of Uncle Joey on your wall.
Oh my gosh, not so much. I walked in about, it must have been about halfway through the pilot episode she was watching. Thought maybe I could subtly convince her to turn it to something else. Not so much. Words cannot describe how awful, how horrible this was. It is, it's nothing but nostalgia. And it, you know how some shows just don't age well? We've talked before about this. You've talked about The Million Dollar Man. I've talked about things like The A-Team. Okay, so if you look at a lot of the sitcoms from this time period with the laugh tracks, where almost literally every second or third line of dialogue is some kind of joke, and then, again, you get the laugh track just over and over and over again. it was like that, and it already didn't work anymore as a format. But then on top of that, every single joke felt forced. So it was almost like not only did they get the same actors back, they got the same writers back, but then the writers had stagnated and gotten so bad over the last few decades of not actually writing anything that they forgot how to even write the level of quality that they had before, which already would have been atrocious if that's the level of comedy they had, but they couldn't even achieve that level.
Wow. You know, I went on to IMDb because I knew this was coming, but I think I blocked it out.
Smart.
but I'm just reading the little blurb on IMDb, and it says, in the continuation of Full House, DJ Fuller is a mother of three young boys who is a recent widow. DJ's sister Stephanie and her best friend Kimmy and Kimmy's teenage daughter all move in to help her raise her sons. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And unfortunately, I caught a little bit of the second episode before I finally had to just get up and leave the room. I'm like, I'm going to go somewhere else in the house. This is just, I can't take it. So the first, you know, the pilot episode is establishing the series, apparently. And then the second episode is where they really get into what you just described. And still, just, it does not work. It is so, so bad. And the worst part is it just got renewed for a second season.
What? Now, who do they bring back besides?
Everybody except the Olsen twins.
Really?
Everybody. Okay. Yep.
Wow. And this is on Netflix?
Yes. Since
it's essentially free, I might have to watch an episode just to see how bad it is.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, it's almost like Star Wars Holiday Special worthy as far as you watch it just because you have to know how bad television viewing can get. And the one good thing about it is that, and to paraphrase the immortal words of the great philosopher Beavis, I think it was it Butthead? No, I think it was Beavis. If you didn't have shows that sucked, you wouldn't understand how good the shows are that don't suck.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, that's very wise.
Yes. So the good news is this show makes a lot of television look so much better.
Oh, boy.
It was pretty bad. Otherwise, I've been catching up on Mr. Robot.
Oh, good.
Yeah, slowly. I've been getting the discs from Netflix. It doesn't seem to be on Netflix Instant Watch nor on Hulu. So
I thought it was on, slowly. What was the original network? USA?
USA.
No. Yeah, I thought it was on there. I've been seeing ads for it where they say, you know, rewatch the episodes, see it on USA.com.
Oh, I never think of actually going to the websites and watching episodes through the websites, though.
Yeah, because I thought they said it was there because I think they're trying to say how there's so many hidden things you really want to rewatch the series and that kind of stuff. So
I'll have to do that then. I'm about,
check that out.
I think maybe halfway through it. There's only 10 episodes. But it's really good.
Hmm.
I was a little worried at first, and I watched the pilot, and I enjoyed it, and I thought, okay, I'll come back to this at some point. But I'm really liking it now. It's kind of like it's got a little bit of a Fight Club vibe to it.
Mm-hmm. Gets a little weird.
But
it definitely has a good theme throughout.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm liking it. And then finally, it is we'll come back to the Oscars in a little bit, but I did watch the Oscars. And like every time I watch the Oscars, about 2/3 of the way through it, I thought, why am I watching the Oscars? Why am I wasting these hours? And how many more hours is it going to be? Like, how long can they make this show? Why am I wasting my life doing this? What else could I, like, I'm mentally going through a list in my head of, okay, I need to catch up on Continuum. I need to catch up on Orphan Black. I need to catch up on, somebody said I should start watching the 100. It's like, I'm going through a mental list of everything else I could be watching except the Oscars. And yet it's like, I know people are going to be talking about it. I should probably just sit and watch it anyway. And so I did all the way through. But then at the end, I thought, okay, we're going to end up talking about Mad Max. I should finish it.
Okay.
I watched part of it. I want to say maybe about halfway through. In hindsight, it was probably more like about a third of the way through. And I wasn't that impressed, and my wife wasn't that impressed. And so we stopped. But I thought we should, you know, if we're going to end up talking about it, I should probably finish the film all the way through, give it a fair shake. It was one of the best films of 2015, according to everybody else. I should have an informed, educated perspective on it. So I finished it. And we'll probably come back to it again in a little bit here. But I did enjoy it more watching the whole film.
When you rewatch it, you watched it all the way through from start to finish?
No, I picked up where I left off.
Okay.
Which was okay. Like, sometimes it's better to then, like, just start over again and kind of get that momentum going. But I felt like I wasn't really missing much. Like, there wasn't really anything I needed to recap. I mean, you know, they stole a truck and they left.
Okay.
I mean, that's 50% of the plot line right there. You know?
Very exciting.
Yeah. so
if that's your review, I'm probably not going to watch it.
Oh, you haven't seen it?
No, I haven't.
Ah.
It's on my list, but it's one of the things I have not seen yet.
Okay. So we'll come back to it in a minute when we talk about the Oscars. Okay. Yeah, I didn't realize you hadn't seen it yet. I thought maybe I was the only one who still hadn't seen it.
No, I think I'm the only holdout.
Okay. All right. We'll come back to it then. So I had been promising people that we would talk a little bit about the move to Random Chatter. A lot of people had been asking about it. And it was a pretty free, drama-free departure from the Force cast for the most part. And then all of a sudden, some drama happened. And things got rather, I don't even really want to say heated, but things got rather vocal on Twitter. Vocal yet not heated per se, right. But there was definitely a lot of talk.
There was discussion. Yeah.
Yep. And so I thought, okay, well now I kind of have to say something because now I don't want there to be a lot of misinformation and stuff. And, you know, all of a sudden it's got out there everywhere. So I wanted to give people a little bit more of an idea of what's actually going on. Didn't want to get too in depth to it on the other more focused topical shows, but I figure Random Chatter is a good place to talk about it. And it's kind of a homecoming again, too. This being this show that kind of, you know, it got me started in podcasting. Lou, it's the network you got started in podcasting on. So, so first, the departure from the Force cast. I was finding that I was spending a lot of my time dealing with things behind the scenes and not as much time actually podcasting. And that's not really what I wanted to be doing. So that was a big factor. I do have some things going on in my personal life that's taking up quite a bit of my time at the moment. So what time I do have to invest in podcasting, I want to be podcasting. That's what I want to do. That's what I enjoy. And I was spending so much time with some of the other things that it wasn't fun anymore. It was getting to the point where it was a chore. It was it was also there were some technical hindrances, some hurdles that were preventing things from happening the way I felt like they should from an infrastructure point of view. And it kind of got in the way of a lot of things. It got in the way of developing new shows, the continuity of existing shows, keeping up with the Patreon donors. That was something that the ball kept getting dropped on that over and over again. And that was something that we couldn't seem to get ahead of. Support for some of the other staff members on things. It was I felt like I wanted to get back to actually podcasting, and then having the infrastructure to facilitate what we wanted to do with the podcasting and where we wanted to go with having a network. The Force cast wasn't really set up to be that. And I will remain eternally grateful to to everybody over there for giving me the opportunity to be part of the Forcecast. I enjoyed my time there. It was a great place to be. I'm still a massive Star Wars fan. We're still continuing the Echo Base show, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And I have even more of a commitment now to be part of the Star Wars fan community. In fact, I think we're probably better positioned here to be more involved in the Star Wars podcasting community around us than we may have been at the Forcecast. So there were some things going on behind the scenes that people may not ever be privy to. And that's fine. It's probably as it should be.
Yeah.
But they're not necessarily negative and they're not necessarily drama related. So I want to make it clear that there wasn't any, there were no fights or arguments or anything like, you know, things blowing up that just aren't coming out in public. It was just one of those things where I thought I would probably be better here. So I contacted the powers.
It was just time to move on. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Nothing wrong with that. No hard feelings. No disputes, I guess is the word I'm looking for. There's nothing like that. I contacted the powers that be over there, and they understood completely. And I left with their blessing. I offered to stay around, to stick around behind the scenes and help with the transition. This was not me like abandoning ship or anything like that. I said, you know, I want to make sure that whoever you bring on as my successor as the network director, they have the resources they need to go in and pick things up and hit the ground running. In fact, I'm still, you know, I still have access to the stuff over there. If they need me to, I'm still doing that, still making sure that they can facilitate that transition because I care about where I came from. I care about the Forcecast, both as a show and as a network. And so, you know, hey, that's great. It is what it is. So that was me leaving. I talked to the powers that be again, and it was okay for us to take Outer Rim over here with us. Most of the Outer Rim network shows were already on Random Chatter anyway. And the Outer Rim was the non-Star Wars show on the network. So, you know, they didn't really mind me bringing that over. So that's on Random Chatter now. The Sabacc table had kind of stagnated anyway, so we're bringing it back over here, which is actually, it started on the Random Chatter network. Lou, you and I started the Sabacc table. I think we got three episodes into it, and it was focused primarily on
the Old Republic. That's right. I totally forgot
about that, yeah. So we took that back, and then they allowed us to bring Echo Base over, for which I'm very grateful, because, you know, Lou, it was basically you and me doing that anyway. So, Lou, you kind of came back over less out of leaving the Forcecast and more as a result of staying on the shows you were already on.
Right, right. And I still hope to do a few things over there. I mean, for the Force.net, I still have, I owe an article for some collectible stuff for RebelsCom.com from the crews and stuff. And yeah, I still have to be involved. And I may cross-post some of our stuff for reviews of FFG stuff over there just because it's Star Wars-based stuff. Yeah.
So, you know, again, no animosity or anything. Everything is going smooth. So they brought Kyle in as my successor as the network director. Kyle, of course, has done Galactic Top 40 Radio. He was on Echo Base with us for a while.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a background in professional radio. He's really good on the mic if you've heard any of his shows.
Oh, definitely.
So he is now the network director. He this is not something I don't think he once said or anything. He posted it to the Facebook page, so I'm just kind of recounting things there. He had talked to Paul, Megan, and Saf, who were on the main Forcecast show. And he explained that he wanted to take the network in a different direction. And that he wanted to take the main Forcecast show in a different direction. And so he opted to go with hosts other than them for the main Forcecast show. And so they left the network and I hope that they are working on doing a different version of that show somewhere. I have reason to believe that there may be something in the works. And if so, I'm very excited to be part of announcing something soon. Not with us, but I think that there's something else somewhere else that's in the works. But wherever they go and whatever they do, I'm proud to have been associated with them. I'm proud to have done a show with them, and I am happy to support anything they do in the future. I think that they are great hosts. I think that they have some powerful insights on all things Star Wars related. And I wish them the best of luck in whatever they do. And I am forever grateful for the shows that they have put out so far. So definite shout out to them. And so that's basically what happened. That's the long and short of it. I can say that nobody was directly kicked out. I left voluntarily. Kyle did remove them from the main Force Cast show, so you can look at that how you will. But I'm happy where I'm at. I think that we've got a good vision going for where we want to take the Random Chatter Network. We are still going to be actively covering Star Wars. We are still going to be very active in the Star Wars community. Mm-hmm. We are still going to, we're not going to get to London, but we're still going to any of the US-based celebration conventions. We will have a presence there as the Echo Base portion of the Random Chatter Network.
Wait, you're not sending me to London?
I haven't figured out how to see when you poke holes in the box, when you do the shipping, that's good for breathing, but I don't know how to do the food thing. So I've talked
you can't
to FedEx.
Put one of those little water bottles with a little ball in it. I can just kind of push it with my tongue and get some water out. And
only if it's inside the box, but then there's no way to like mount it inside. I don't know. I'm still working with our local FedEx guy.
Okay. See what you can figure out. Cause I still have to go. It'd
yeah. I'm still working on shipping you over there somehow. But, no, we're still going to be very involved in Star Wars related stuff. We're going to have Star Wars related guests. We know people at Lucasfilm. We've got our contacts. We're still going to be covering, FFG stuff for the Sabacc table. And like I said, we may actually be positioned now to be more actively involved in the Star Wars fan community than we have in the past. So, pretty excited about that. We'll also be doing, coverage of other conventions. We're going to, we went to New York Comic Con this past year. There wasn't a lot mm-hmm. of Star Wars related stuff there per se, but now that we're covering other things besides Star Wars, our New York Comic Con coverage for 2016 will be a lot more relevant.
Right. I mean, we had a few of the things we did, you know, talk about on the Outer Rim, you know, show as well. Cause that was our non-Star Wars show for the Force Cast.
Yeah.
But this year we'll be able to do it a little bit more.
Yes. So, yeah. And a little more prominently too. So, yeah. So that's going to be pretty exciting. I may even, I'll talk to you about this later, Lou. We may be taking a trip out to the West Coast.
Really?
You and I, if everything works out the way I hope it does.
Cool.
Yes. If we might have to save up some money for it. It's not going to be an all expense paid trip.
This doesn't involve me fucking my arms really hard, does it?
Yeah, it very well might.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll have to pay our own way out there, but we have some resources that cool. I think will make for some interesting content down the road. Anyhow, so that's basically what's going on. We are setting up a permanent home here at Random Chatter. We're going to set up a new Patreon page, which we are, again, we're positioned to be able to facilitate that, and, delivering on the perks, much better than we had been in the past. So, that'll be good. Anything else that, you know, pertinent to the shows or the network that the delay on the crash couch, I know we announced that previously for the Expanse show on the Sci-Fi Network. We announced that we were going to go live with it earlier this year. We kind of had a hint that this might be happening, so we put it off a little bit. We wanted to move over to the network first and launch it. So that's going to be launching very, very soon here, probably within the week. But that's the reason for the delay on that. We wanted to just start it clean rather than, you know, start it up and then have to move it. Oh, the RSS feeds.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Hopefully by this point, everybody's all situated. But if you're confused on any of that, the Random Chatter Network feed that's in iTunes and that's on the website, you can get it. If you need to type it into your manual podcast app or something, it's just feeds.feedburner.com/Random Chatter Network. That will get you all of the shows on the Random Chatter Network. All of them. All of ours, all of Jay's. So you're good to go. And then each one of the shows will have their own individual RSS feed if you want just that particular show. So you can do it however you want. You can grab them all individually. You can get the overall network. It's up to you. The Outer Rim Podcast Network feed that we had before will be redirected to the Random Chatter Network feed. So if that's how you were getting those shows, you can just, you know, close that out and subscribe to the Random Chatter Network instead, or it'll automatically redirect you. At least it'll automatically redirect for iTunes. I don't know. If you're not using iTunes, you might have to just do it yourself. But the individual show feeds for Echo Base, Outer Rim, and Suboctable, those will remain as they are. You don't have to resubscribe. You don't have to change anything. We'll take care of that for you. And then finally, the RSS feeds might not have all of the backlog of episodes in them, at least not at first. The Random Chatter feed, for example, only has episodes 100 and this one, episode 101. So bear with us as we go and fill in that backlog of the archives. But going forward, you'll be good to go. And I think that's it. I think that's all of the housekeeping.
Mm.
Anything else to say about the transition? Or
no, I'm just happy to be here and happy everybody's followed us over, or those who have.
Yeah.
And hopefully we have some new listeners as well. We're looking forward to growing this and going forward.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a part of me that kind of feels a sense of loss, especially, you know, the Forcecast, it had a lot of numbers behind it.
Mm.
But I,
and they're great guys over there, and I had a good time there, and I'm sure we'll interact with them in the future.
Oh, but, absolutely.
You know, as Anakin's mother said, you know, don't look back.
Yeah. I can't begin to describe how happy I am right now, though, to be back on Random Chatter. So, all right, Oscars.
Let's talk. The guy Oscars. He was the guy in the trash can, right?
Yes. You know, I watched an interesting, already we're off on tangents. I love this. I miss it so much. I was watching a documentary. I'm almost all the way through it. I had to stop it a couple times. It's called I Am Big Bird. And it's about Carol Spinney, the guy who does Big Bird and Oscar the Grouch.
Okay.
And our generation, you know, we grew up on Sesame Street, and this is way back before the days of Elmo.
Right.
And I don't know about you, but I grew up with Big Bird.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a big deal. So there's a really good documentary out. I think it's on Netflix. I want to say it's on Netflix. I know it's available for rent disc-wise through Netflix, but I think it's streaming. And it's really good. I highly recommend it. It's fascinating to see what all was involved with getting Big Bird onto Sesame Street and Carol mm-hmm. Spinney as getting into that as a career, and then just the involvement that Big Bird's had in social culture. So
cool. Yeah. That sounds interesting.
But no, we're not talking about Oscar the Grouch.
Oh, okay.
No, we're talking about the Academy Awards.
Yes.
Something that, you know, we traditionally on Random Chatter, we've not really talked about as a focus very much, because even aside from the controversy of this year,
But, you know, there's always controversy, and there's always the question of, you know, is this relevant anymore? You know, I always get the list, you know, I see the list of who the, you know, what movies were nominated for Academy Awards. I'm like, I've heard of one, maybe two of these, you know, usually. I mean, this year I think it was a little more than I've seen in the past, but
yeah,
usually it's like obscure films that like just came out. I'm like, okay, when I think of, you know, last year's films that were really, really good that I'd like to see nominated, you know, I don't think of these that they just announced here this week type thing. It's like,
right.
I don't know. I mean, what were the, for Best Picture, what were all the nominations? I'm trying to find a list right now what the nominated films were.
Okay. Well, actually, if you go to screenrant.com/Oscars-2016-winners, all lowercase. Anybody following along at home can do the same, and it's got a list there of all of the nominees and the winners. And, you know, it's interesting you say that. This year, there were more films I was familiar with than in a lot of other years. And even if I didn't see all of the films, I at least had a good working knowledge of them. I'd seen the trailers multiple times. I knew whether they were films I would be interested in watching or not, as opposed to a lot of other years where, like, I didn't really know much about the films.
Yeah.
So we're not going to go through every single category. We're going to hit a couple of highlights, and then there were a couple of big films that really swept, and some snubs and things like that. And again, this year, you know, the controversy behind it was the fact that there were really no representation of minorities in the nominees. And so there was the big controversy about that this year. We're not going to get into that here on this show. It's been talked about quite a bit. I don't think that there's anything that we would really have to contribute to that conversation that would be interesting or groundbreaking. I think Chris Rock did a good job as a host. I think he addressed a lot of it really well. I think that he was beating a dead horse at a certain point, in the sense that it kind of started to feel forced a little bit. But then I feel like every single year with the Oscars, that's the case. So I don't think it had to do with the topic so much as it had to do with the fact that, you know, this is how hosting an award show normally ends up. So you mentioned the Best Picture. We've got The Big Short, about the housing market situation, which is supposed to be really good. Bridge of Spies, that was the Tom Hanks movie. Not really my thing. I'm not into period pieces that much. Same thing for Brooklyn, which my wife saw, and she said it wasn't bad. So okay. She got suckered into, not really suckered into seeing it.
Suckered in.
She had to go take her mom, who desperately wanted to see it. She's like, okay, mom, I know that your friend who was going to take you couldn't make it, so I'll take you instead. And she said, yeah, it wasn't too bad. Brooklyn, Mad Max Fury Road, of course, the one genre film that was in there. Well, I guess The Martian also was technically a genre film.
Or a comedy, right?
Yeah, or a comedy, if you see it at the Golden Globes. I still can't get over that.
Yeah, that
still boggles my mind. The Revenant with Leonardo DiCaprio, Room, and the winner, Spotlight, about the scandal in the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
And Spotlight was the winner. Haven't seen it. Not really my type of film. The whole docudrama thing, just, you know, normally if I watch a film these days, I have little enough time that I want it to be something that's entertaining more so than trying to send a message about something. And not to diminish the message of that film, it's just not the type of the way I would probably spend my entertainment time.
Yeah, it always amazes me what these things are that get listed here. And it's just, you know, I don't know. The movies that are listed there, I've seen like half or heard of half of these, half of them I didn't hear of. But it's like, really? Wait, you know, I don't know. It's like, you know, why did these things get nominated? I don't know. I always have a lot of questions on Oscars and the whole how they come about the listings and everything else. Yeah. But I don't know.
I think that this year, from what I know of the films, I'm not really that upset with the nominees for Best Film. Like, they make sense to me. I get it. I don't always.
Mm-hmm.
The only one I'm probably a little iffy on, interestingly enough, is the one that in theory I would be most excited to see here, which would be Mad Max Fury Road. I don't think that it was worthy of an Oscar nomination for Best Picture. I just don't. And I'm sorry to everybody out there who disagrees. I understand why you disagree. I just, like, there were a lot of good things about the movie, and I'll get get to that in a few minutes, but I don't think that it was that caliber of storytelling. And I guess you can't comment too much because you haven't seen it, but it was basically the whole movie is one big long chase scene, and a phenomenal one at that. Don't get me wrong, but it's just a chase scene. Like it's, I mean, Deadpool had way more story to it. And I mean, that was my one critique of Deadpool, is that the story was mediocre and kind of predictable. And I mean, oh my gosh, that was like Of Mice and Men compared to Mad Max.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So Mad Max was a fun movie. It was an adrenaline filled movie, and it had some phenomenal design elements. But Best Picture, I just don't get that at all. So anyway, it didn't win.
Yeah,
so,
I was surprised when it was nominated. I mean, I was surprised when The Martian was nominated. I thought it was a great movie, but
I still haven't seen it.
Picture, I don't know. You know,
yeah.
I think The Big Short made sense. I didn't see that, but I think it made sense. I think Bridge of Spies made sense. You know, I don't know anything about Spotlight. I mean, I know the premise, but I don't know anything about it.
It's one of those movies where I wonder if it wasn't nominated because of the fact that it had a message that...
I was going to say the same thing. Yeah. Was it the content of the story, not really the film that was nominated, you know?
I'm hearing that that wasn't... it makes you wonder, but fortunately I'm hearing that that was not actually the case. Like, it was actually legitimately a really good movie. So, okay. I don't know.
Now, before we move on to the next category, explain something to me, because you're more plugged into this sometimes than I am. But why is it that Best Picture and Best Director don't always go hand in hand?
Okay. Best Picture is... it's less specific. Best Picture encompasses more factors. Best Director is specifically... the role of the director in the film. And of course, the director, one of his jobs is to pull a good performance out of the actors. Another one is to establish the shots and decide how the shots are going to be framed. I mean, a lot of that is also the cinematographer, but it's more that the cinematographer delivers the director's vision. So, not to diminish the cinematographer, because I mean, that makes all the difference in the world sometimes, but most of the time, but the director is the one who basically is deciding what you see on this, is the one who's deciding how what you see on the screen is being delivered, both from the shots and from the performances by the actor. Best Picture is generally more, all encompassing. Is, you know, did the film work overall? I look at it as more of a vague sense of, did the film take you there? Like, did it grab you and like, did it work? All the pieces fit together perfectly. I think that there's probably a little bit more tangible explanation for it than that.
You look at the list of the nominees for both those categories, and they're usually pretty close to being the same.
They usually are.
And in that case, if they're close to being the same, it means that they're taking a lot of the same, you know, criteria for why those are in that list. So in that case, why isn't it always, you know, the best director should have directed the best movie?
Okay. You know? Well, let's look at it in this case. The winner for Best Director was Alejandro González.
Yep, go ahead. All you.
Iñárritu?
Okay, yeah, sure.
For The Revenant. And I have no doubt that he deserved it. From what I've seen of The Revenant, and I've not seen the film, but from what I've seen of it, he pulled a phenomenal performance out of the actors, most notably Leonardo DiCaprio, but also from the other actors. That doesn't mean that was really the best movie, though. I mean, maybe the story sucked. Maybe the pacing was off.
Okay.
You know, there are other factors that could have made it so that it wasn't the best movie, but the directing was phenomenal.
And I can see that if The Revenant wasn't also nominated for Best Picture. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if the two lists were totally separate,
uh-huh.
You had a list of Best Picture nominees and a list of Best Director nominees that weren't for those films, I can totally see that. Okay, this movie just wasn't very good, but it was well directed. The story fell short, or the actor, the casting wasn't right, or something, you know? Uh-huh. But when you have a list that's pretty much, you know, hand in hand, I mean, Big Short was nominated for Best Picture, and Adam McKay was for Best Director of Big Short. Fury Road's in both categories. The Revenant's in both right. categories. The Room's in both categories. The Spotlight's in both categories. And if they had expanded to Best Director to 7 films like they did with, Best Picture, you'd probably have, The Room and Brooklyn in there as well. So again, I if it's good enough to be nominated, it means it's a good film.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean it's the best.
I suppose.
I see what you're saying. And that's probably when people look at the Academy Awards, that's probably the one question that comes up more often than not. And a lot of times, whoever gets Best Director also gets Best Film. I mean, for years, that seemed to be the case. There is a pretty blurred line there. You're right. But when you get right down to it, the way the voting is supposed to happen, I think this is probably a good year for that as an example. You have someone who won for Best Director, who probably really deserved it, and yet people felt that the film for Spotlight was the more compelling film overall.
Mm. Okay.
So,
well, that does help me a little bit in my mind, but still, I'm still confused.
Yeah.
That's nothing new.
it really is a good point, though, because it's a blurred line. The other winners for what are considered the big categories here. Leonardo got his first Oscar ever. I guess he's been nominated 6 times now for The Revenant. Brie Larson got it for The Room. Best Adapted Screenplay went to The Big Short. Best Original Screenplay for Bridge of Spies. Mark Rylance got it for Bridge of Spies for Best Supporting Actor. And Alicia Vikander for The Danish Girl. Inside Out won Best Animated Feature. Let's see. I mean, that's basically for the ones that people consider like the big deals. Now, Mad Max walked away with a lot of awards. It did not win for Best Picture, and it did not win for Best Cinematography, but it won for pretty much everything else it was nominated for.
Which I've heard a lot of people say it didn't win for the ones it should have been nominated for, or it should have won for.
See, I don't get that. I disagree. You know, so, Best Cinematography.
I haven't seen it, so.
Again, The Revenant, that's a pretty compelling argument for Best Cinematography. So I can see where it won, and I can see where it probably, it definitely deserved it. Whether it deserved it over Mad Max Fury Road, I think it did, but I guess that's up to interpretation. I don't think that, I don't think it was deserved for Best Picture. I've already mentioned that. It won for Best Costume Design, and I totally get that. I think that it deserved it for that. Yeah. These are two I don't think it should have won for. Best Sound Editing. The nominees were Mad Max, The Martian, Revenant, Sicario, and The Force Awakens. I'm sorry. I know this is going to sound really fanboyish. I really have a hard time with The Force Awakens not getting it. I really do. I understand Star Wars not getting a lot of the other nominations. I even understand John Williams not getting it for Best Original Score for The Force Awakens. I really,
I get that one too myself. Yep.
Yeah. And I love that soundtrack.
Yeah.
But Best Sound Editing, the sound editing on Fury Road was good. It was worthy of being nominated. I think The Force Awakens should have taken it. And the same for sound mixing. Same exact situation. But Mad Max won for Best Sound Mixing as well. Now, Best Makeup and Hairstyling, Mad Max Fury Road. And I get it for that too. I agree completely. And I think that, you know, that's another category it definitely should have won. I don't understand people saying, you know, well, it won for everything it shouldn't have. I thought that the makeup and the costume design for both of those was great. I don't understand why that would be an issue. Best production design, Mad Max Fury Road. I mean, come on, look at the production design for this. Look at the Citadel at the beginning of the film. And all the vehicles in it and everything. Lou, I know that when you watch the film, you're going to appreciate this,
mm-hmm.
especially as a fan of post-apocalyptic stuff. The production design, like, hands down, I don't think any of the other nominees even come close to this. Maybe The Martian, maybe, but no. The Martian, in the sense that it was so skillfully executed, but for Mad Max, it was skillfully executed and so creatively thought up. I mean, the creativity involved.
Yeah.
Was.
Yeah. Mad Max is pure creative, whereas The Martian is based on some science. And
right.
It's creative as well, but they're doing it within the bounds of what is plausible.
Right.
You know, for today's technology.
Right.
So, yeah, I would say Mad Max would win that over that one.
Yeah. So, if anything, probably the most deserving award for any film in any category, I think Mad Max for Best Production Design was, like, I would have eternally boycotted the Oscars if it didn't win for that, because it solidly deserved it. What else did it win? Best Film Editing? It won, again, over Episode 7, over Star Wars. And I don't know. I want Star Wars to win for that too, because I think Star Wars was really well edited.
I think it was too, but I haven't seen Mad Max Fury Road, but with as quick of pace some of that stuff was in that movie, I think it probably does deserve it, at least to be nominated. But again, until I see it, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm a little more upset about the sound stuff for Star Wars. I think that that's mm-hmm. another one of those hands-down sort of things. Best film editing, I have to say, Mad Max did a really good job, because what you were just saying, a lot of fast-moving action scenes, things like that. A lot of times, especially these days, films don't edit that very well, and you have a hard time keeping up with where the action is. You get a lot of shaky cam stuff. You get a lot of quick cuts.
Right.
And I think that they did a really good job in Mad Max of keeping your eyes centered on where the focus is supposed to be in the action. And it makes the action much more enjoyable to watch than in a lot of other films. You can, like, I don't think you're going to notice it the first time you watch it. If you go back and watch it a second time and you maintain an awareness of it, I think that you'll notice that the editing in this is abnormally good for an action movie. They edit it together in such a way that you really have an easy time keeping up with all the action, and it makes it feel right. There's a certain rightness about it that's kind of hard to quantify. So I'm okay with this one. Again, I hate to see Star Wars lose, but yeah. So I think that's about it.
Now, what about visual effects? Best visual effects went to Ex Machina.
Yeah.
And in there was Mad Max Fury Road, The Martian, The Revenant, and Episode 7. You know, I've seen most of Ex Machina. I haven't seen all of it.
Oh, you should finish it.
I know. I have to go back to that. But I've seen The Martian, and I've seen Episode 7, obviously. You know, all three of those movies, I think, are excellent. Did Ex Machina do better than the other two? I don't know. I mean, I thought The Martian did a phenomenal job with special effects to make it feel as realistic as it did. You know?
Yeah. And
so,
see,
I
didn't see The Martian yet.
Okay.
I own it. I just haven't watched it yet. Yeah, this one, you know, at first I was really upset. I'm like, Ex Machina, how did that win? I even tweeted, and you know how rarely I do that. And I loved Ex Machina. And frankly, if it's only going to get nominated once, I'm thrilled beyond words that it won. This movie was so overlooked. And it is such a great movie. I mean, it basically, if you're listening to our podcast, this is right up your alley. Our demographic fits right in for this movie. You need to immediately go rent it or buy it. I feel pretty confident just saying, just go buy it. You might not rewatch it a bunch of times, but it's a solid film. It's mm-hmm. really good. Visual effects. I guess, like, looking back at it now that I've had a few days to think about it, it's deserving of it. I mean, it was kind of low budget, especially compared to the other films, and they really did do a good job. The effects were convincing. You could tell they were special effects, and yet they worked seamlessly into the world. And, I mean, Mad Max had really good effects too, obviously, and Star Wars. I mean, it's really, really hard to put another film over Star Wars for visual effects. And I'm still not convinced Ex Machina should have beaten Star Wars.
Yeah, I mean, thinking back to Star Wars now, it's like, you know, there weren't a lot of things. There wasn't really anything in that movie that I looked at and saw, boy, that's really cheesy special effects. I mean, everything was done top notch.
Yeah, and Maz Kanata was obviously CG and felt CG to me, but
yeah,
it didn't bother me. Like, it worked okay.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, yeah, I mean, the effects were great. I mean, there were effects there that you didn't know were effects shots that you thought were practical shots and were not.
True.
And visual effects don't have to be computer effects either. That's the thing. So, I mean, I don't know. I'm so on the fence on this one. I'm glad to see Ex Machina win because I want it to have a win, but
right.
I don't know.
I guess when I come down to it, in my own opinion of the whole Academy Awards thing, I'm not saying the movie that always makes the most money should be up there, because a lot of times they're not really, you know, one and the same with Best Picture, but when a movie like Force Awakens is so far out and above beyond everything else out there, I mean, I didn't expect it to get a nomination for Best Picture, but it would have been nice to be nominated. It had some problems in the film, but overall, it was an excellent movie. I mean, why didn't it make that cut? And is it just because the Academy snubs sci-fi stuff a lot? I just have a problem. It's so far out and above and beyond anything money-wise ever. Shouldn't it have gotten a more closer look at being a Best Picture nomination?
Well, I mean, you made an important point at the beginning of your statement there, in that it, you know, the money shouldn't dictate that. I mean, you could look at Deadpool.
Yeah.
I mean, Deadpool, whether it's effects or anything else, I mean, really isn't Academy level stuff, and yet it outsold most of the movies we're looking at here on the list. Star Wars, I mean, yeah, genre films don't usually make the list, but then again, you know, Mad Max and, you know, The Martian was more drama than sci-fi, but
yeah, I mean, of that list, Mad Max is the one that surprised me the most. I mean, I'm surprised The Martian got on there, because to me, most of the time, you know, financially successful films don't do well in Best Picture category.
Right.
And I don't know why. Is it a movie snob thing? You know, is it, I'm a cinephile and I'm not going to, nominate that movie. You know, is it that kind of a thing? Or is it?
And it makes you wonder. I mean, sometimes it may be exactly that. And then other times it's like, okay, Leonardo DiCaprio has been nominated 6 times now and never got an award. Did they just give him an award because it's like, okay, it's time to give Leo an award.
Right. And there was so much talk about that before the Oscars, you know.
Right.
Should he or shouldn't he get it? Will they overlook him again? Is it going to, you know.
And it's not that he didn't deserve an award. I mean, here's the thing. If you're good enough to be nominated 6 times, there's a pretty darn good chance that you probably were deserving of at least one of those awards. So I'm not upset that he won the award. And I'm not saying he's not deserving of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it does make you wonder, okay, how much did that factor into people's decisions? It's like the whole Heath Ledger thing after The Dark Knight.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. I was just thinking about that.
Yeah. So, Star Wars for Best Picture. I I'm having a hard time again. I'm having a hard time quantifying why it shouldn't make it, but I can understand why it wasn't as good. I mean, if you look at most of these films, again, with the notable exception of Fury Road, but you could argue that was probably more because of the design and the execution, the editing, the craftsmanship of the filmmaking. And yeah, we've got Star Wars, but Fury Road did things differently. Star Wars did things that we've seen before, but did it really well. Mad Max Fury Road, it did things that we don't normally see and did it really well. Everything else, though, besides Mad Max Fury Road, it tells a compelling story that makes you feel something that is relevant to the world around you. The Big Short has, it's a compelling look at how this catastrophe could have spiraled out of control. Mm-hmm. Bridge of Spies, I can't really attest to too much. Brooklyn is about immigration and Irish immigrants and the complications involved in her situation. The Martian tells a really compelling story that really makes you feel for the guy. The level of emotional investment that you have in that character is really compelling. The same thing for The Revenant, and the same thing for The Room. And then Spotlight, again, reflects on a very critical, important situation that's going on in the world around us, and not just that situation itself, but then the role of reporters in bringing that to light. You can say that the story transcends the film itself and has an impact on how you look at the world around you. Star Wars doesn't really do that.
No.
And neither does Mad Max, but again, Mad Max is there for doing something that we haven't seen already, really.
Right. You know, you mentioned something a minute ago that struck back to what I was thinking of here about the Lord of the Rings trilogy. All three movies got nominated for Best Film. The only one that won it was Return of the King. Now, was that kind of contrived that way? Did they say, okay, we know we're going to give it to them at least once. If we give it to them in the first one, we're probably going to give the second two to them consecutively because they're all basically the same movie, you know, over 3 years. It was that kind of thing that, you know, how much this is really, I don't want to say rigged, but, you know, thought out that way. And
how much of it is based on merit versus how much of it is based on
who we feel deserves obligation. It type thing. Yeah, it's like, yeah, you did a good job in these three movies, so we should give it to you at least once. We'll give it to you on the third one.
Right.
Yeah, and I'm looking at IMDb's, Wikipedia's page, actually, for Oscar winners. It lists all the movies nominated. I'm looking over the last few years, and it's like, you know, in 2009, you know, Avatar and District 9 were both nominated, which I didn't remember they were both nominated. But, you know, if District 9 get nominated, why didn't The Force Awakens get nominated?
And that's a really good question. But again, District 9 was kind of an analogy for apartheid and things like that. So again, you could argue that it kind of affected how you looked at the world around you. Star Wars does not have that effect. It has a lot of great effects to it, figuratively speaking. But it does not, as much as I love the film, it does not really change how you look at the world around you.
Yeah.
It doesn't have that kind of level of social impact in that way. In District 9, you could argue it does, not to the extent that some of these other films do, but then District 9, again, it was something that we haven't seen done a bunch of times before. It was basically an independent film that transcended its budget,
it was definitely new and special in its own way, right.
So I think that was one of the reasons for District 9. What was the other one you mentioned?
Where was I looking here? What did I see? Avatar.
Okay. And Avatar.
Yeah, I have a hard time with that one being nominated there. I mean, I liked the movie. It was okay. And it was unique for what it was. It was original. I mean, that was one of the things you can say is most movies aren't that original anymore. Right. So
and I think that's nice probably why it was,
yeah.
It was how original the use of technology was in presenting something unique.
Mm. Okay, well, that's my soapbox, so.
No, it does not surprise me that The Force Awakens didn't make nomination for Best Picture. I think that if it had made nomination for Best Picture, I would have been happy, not just as a fan, but I think it would have been justified because I don't think Best Picture has to be about a film that transcends its station or that says something about the world around you, because I don't think films always have to do that. I don't think that films have a responsibility to society to change the way that we look at things. I think it's great when it does. But mm-hmm. films are also supposed to entertain us, and films are supposed to sometimes be able to be an escape and to take us out of the economic downfall that we're in and the terrorism that we're in and, the violence that we have in our local communities and, the drudgery of going to work every day. Sometimes films are just entertainment and they're just supposed to be this fantasy world that takes us away from everything else and gives us something else that would never really occur, but gives us something to believe in for those few minutes. And that's a way in which Star Wars really did deliver that and really was one of the best pictures of recent history, not just 2015. And so I think if you look at that justification, it makes all the more sense that maybe Star Wars should have been nominated for Best Picture. I just don't think that they take that into consideration as much.
No, they don't.
But maybe they should.
Yeah, I think so.
So I don't know. That's my two cents.
Yeah, and I'm looking back, and sadly, the only movie that got nominated for Best Picture from the Star Wars saga was Star Wars.
Yeah.
Ever. I mean, nominated. Yeah, I don't know.
And it didn't win.
I'm not bitter.
Much.
Much.
All right. Well, I think that's going to wrap up this episode of Random Chatter. I hope this wasn't too dry for a lot of people. Like I said, I know in the past we try to avoid the Oscars because it's the Oscars. So we generally don't care, but I think this year was a little bit different. A few more recognizable movies. Mad Max was kind of an unexpected win in a lot of categories. The quantity of awards it got, I think, was unexpected.
Yeah.
And Star Wars got snubbed pretty hard. So I think that this was noteworthy. It was worth talking about a little bit. So, but we would love to hear what you guys think about it. And, the Oscars in general, are they even really relevant anymore? I mean, I would be more interested, I think, in People's Choice Awards than the industry patting each other on the back most of the time. But we'd like to know what you guys think. So shoot us an email. Give us your opinions. And you know what? While you're at it, give us topic ideas. This is our water cooler discussion show for the network. We just randomly pick topics and talk about whatever is whatever piques our interest, whatever stands out to us in any given week. Sometimes there'll be more light and fluffy topics. Sometimes it'll be something that's a little more controversial or philosophical or a little deep. But shoot us some ideas. If there's a topic you'd like to hear us rant about or talk about or discuss, let us know. Some topics, we might even bring some guests on to present some other viewpoints and ideas as well. So shoot us your emails. That's the best way to get in touch with us. randomchatter@randomchatter.com or rc@randomchatter.com. That'll also get to us if you don't feel like typing out the whole thing. But let us know what you think. We would love to hear from you. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Our Facebook page is still kind of going to be building up momentum for a while. We've got Chris McGuffin that we've tasked with that. Fortunately, he is he's pretty on top of social networking, so that's a big relief for me. I not exactly the Facebook guru here, but you can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/randomchatternetwork. On Twitter, you can follow us at Random Chatter. We will be tweeting various different things throughout the week, different news articles that we find and such. You can follow us individually on Twitter. I'm Eric Blythe. That's E-R-I-K-B-L-Y-T-H-E. And Lou, what about you?
You can find me at Lou Secchi. That's L-O-U-S-E-C-K-I.
Okay, and you can find all of the Random Chatter shows over at randomchatter.com, of course. Lots of great shows there. So be sure to check us out. Don't forget to follow us in iTunes. And we would love it if you'd leave us some reviews. A lot of the reviews that are there right now are from the old iterations of Random Chatter. We would love some fresh blood, so to speak. Some new reviews in there. So drop by and leave some feedback there. Don't forget to tell your friends about us. Word of mouth is a great way to help us get some new listeners and to expand the community. And don't forget to listen live. We are live right now. Of course, we didn't give a lot of warning. And at the moment, it's not quite midnight on Thursday. We've got Carrie here in the chat room still hanging out with us. But normally we have a pretty decent following in the chat room, a handful of people who all like to chat and interact with us while we record. We do live shows every Tuesdays and Thursday nights, starting generally at about 9 p.m. Eastern. Sometimes we start a little bit later, but we're generally still there, kind of chit-chatting and stuff before the shows actually start recording. You can get there at randomchatter.com/live. Again, Tuesdays and Thursday nights at about 9 p.m. Eastern time. And I think that's about it.
I think so.
Yeah, quite the mouthful there. So that's it. The music you hear in this podcast is The Perfect Heist by Blue Staley. And as silly as the sentence sounds, all trademarks are owned by their respective owners. Until next time, take care, everybody.
See ya.